you turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 2. We're going to be at James chapter 2, and today I would like to go over verses 1 through 7. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, reading in Jesus' name. My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the words that you give us. I thank you for the reminder, Lord, that we do need to be aware of our actions and check our heart. Lord, thank you for being the author of perfection, Lord, that we can look at as guidance. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for your forgiveness. Lord, I pray that we can just honor your name the way it's meant to be honored. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're back in James. I really enjoy James. I didn't realize that I was going to enjoy this as much as I have, but it really has, I feel like I've learned a lot through it, and I really hope that you have too. I want to remind you that James is one of Jesus' brothers, and James at this time is dealing with the Christian church at its infancy. And he is speaking to believers in this case, it's a synagogue. It's probably in Jerusalem. But we know that he wrote these letters so that Christians all over the world at that time could know his teachings. And James has, we've looked at a number of things going through James, and today we're looking at favoritism. And first of all, before I say anything else, if you forget everything that I preached about today, I want you to think about this. Why are you here today? Why are you here today? Because in verse 1, James makes it very clear that there's a reason that we're not to show favoritism. And in my NIV, which I generally preach at, I don't always make notice of that, but the NIV says, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Now the King James and the NAS, they say, in Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And I think whenever we look at the teachings of James, because if looked at wrong, I sort of feel that we can go about this, and looking at James is telling us a way to be Christians. And it's not the case. Everything that James is doing is to show how much we need Christ. It points to Christ's perfection and it points to our sinfulness. And so I ask you again today, why are you here today? And it's to worship Jesus Christ, our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, as NAS and the King James say. Jesus, the one who glorifies us through his death. It's the whole reason that we do what we do. It's the whole reason that we act. It's the whole reason that we feel remorse for our sins. It's the whole reason we ask for forgiveness of our sins. And in this case, we're talking about a type of judgment that can often be done. You know, in America, we often dress or go to schools or get education so that people will look at us differently. Because we would like them to show us favoritism. I mean, it's just the truth. You know, we dress in our nice clothes. We wear our nice-smelling things. The new shoes, the new technology, it's kind of ingrained in us. And I don't know if that's, I know it's not a good thing. Here in this synagogue, his people he's teaching are having a problem judging people by their outer appearance. But I want to make it clear here, this little letter that James is writing isn't just about how we treat the poor. It has to do with the judging. And that judging is what comes from your heart and from my heart. That's what's wrong. All through the Old Testament, all through the New Testament, we find similar reference to what we're covering today. In Luke chapter 6, verse 20, and I just have these written down, so I'll read them quickly, but in Luke chapter 6, verse 20, he says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." So we can see there that the poor are set apart, and God doesn't look at the poor like we look at the poor. Okay, the poor don't get any closer to God standing on their money or standing on their success. We can go all the way back to Deuteronomy and Leviticus. In Deuteronomy 1:17, it says, "Do not show partiality in judging. Hear both small and great alike. Do not be afraid of any man, for judgment belongs to God." And I think that's the point we need to remember, is why does judgment belong to God? Because of all things, God's judgment is just. God's judgment is fair. You and I, in our sinful natures, we're just not capable of being fair. We're capable of being hypocrites. And we can do our best, but as we know as Christians, our best isn't good enough. Leviticus 19:15 says, "Do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor or favoritism to the great, but judge your neighbor fairly." So we can accidentally find ourselves, you know, you look here, and I guess I've missed this in the past because I had read this passage before, but this is at a church, and another, it's not necessarily the poor person's fault or the rich person's fault that's entering the church. It's the person that is admonishing one person and glorifying the other. But this fellow believer, I'm gonna assume that he's a fellow believer, he's taking the time to honor man in the church. And that's why I ask, why are we here today? Because this man obviously went to the synagogue in hopes of learning, we would think, but in some way, he's honoring his fellow man instead of God, simply because of what he's wearing. And, you know, that's this whole thing with our sinful nature. If we're not careful, we can find ourselves, we're clouding or even lessening the glory that God deserves. And instead, we're giving it to people. Now, why do we come to church? We don't come to church to serve man in the way that this man is serving man. Okay? We can make another argument for the right kind of serving. We're not talking about the right kind today. We look at verse 4. And you can see that there's a problem. You see, you've not discriminated among yourselves and become... You have now... Try that again. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? What does sin do to our hearts if we let it? Sin causes us to have a partiality in our hearts. And obviously, word from word, that sin causes our thoughts, causes us to become judges with evil thoughts. Some of my commentary, they use a little bit fancier words. Unjust estimations and corrupt opinions. How easy is it for that to happen to believers? Well, you don't have to go very far when you're studying the life of Jesus, John the Baptist, the disciples, prophets from the Old Testament. Oftentimes, it was the very religious leaders that were held in a place of honor, the very religious leaders that people came to hear from and be taught by. I mean, the Pharisees completely overlooked who Christ was as the Messiah, not to mention many others. Why? They thought they knew who he was. He was a poor carpenter's son. They didn't look at the scriptures. They didn't follow. They didn't check to see what the prophecies were. They judged Jesus by his outer appearance. They were expecting someone to hold a sword and sit on a throne and take everybody by the chinny chin chin and lead them. And that's not what Jesus did, and they missed that. They were deceived by that outer appearance. The problem is that when it comes to religion, it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, because you're on the same level. There's no amount of money you can have, there's no amount of success you can have that makes you closer to God. And there's no, how do I say this, in your yearnings and your wants or your needs, there's nothing that you need or lack that can make you farther away from God. Unfortunately, God in his wisdom, who can see our hearts, knows that. And this sin not only causes us to misjudge others, but it also causes us to forget what you and I have been called from. Because we can look at the poor and we can look at the rich, but to think about as believers where we're at now, on the level, knowing Christ our Savior and forgiven, can we forget that? Do we forget what we were called from? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 does a really good job at summarizing this up. And this is Paul talking to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 through 29. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not what many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. We don't want to forget what we've been called from. You know, throughout Scripture, God is called the cowardly and the uneducated. You know, the people with no talent, poor people. And he's done great things with those people to further his kingdom. You know, those people, they're poor in the eyes of the world. You know, have you ever been so proud to be cowardly or uneducated or not very smart? Take pride in that. I do. You know, because God has called us, and God's going to use us in our weakness. Use us whether we're rich or poor, but rich in faith. God is going to use that because God sees what's important in us. And that's why we as people sometimes have trouble, because that sin causes us not to look at what's important. Instead, it kind of causes us to look at the outer things. You know, what kind of a speaker is he? Where's his degree from? What kind of car does he drive? So I ask you again, why did you come to church today? You know, we've come to worship God. We've come to worship Christ. And James isn't just challenging believers on the Sabbath, on a Sunday for us. James is challenging every single day. So you can, instead of saying, why did you come to church today? Maybe tomorrow, on Monday, say, why did I get up today? Why did I get up today? Because in this case, the reason that I don't want to show favoritism is because God asks me not to. Because the love I have to Christ, the desire I have to be Christ-like, and that can be every day. We look at Jesus, and Jesus is our standard. You know, and sometimes we look at that standard and we can see how far sin takes us away. And we do. We get caught up in our outward appearance, and sometimes we forget about the inward things, the inward grace. And we care more about the things that we see than the things that we don't see. And you look at this and with James, and not only is he just asking people not to show favoritism, but I think he's asking people, and if you were to summarize and kind of look back, which I'll do in just a minute, he's asking these believers that are being taught under him to check their heart. Look at their heart. Look at your heart. I need to look at my heart. Why did I get up in the morning? To serve God. Why do I need God? Because I'm a sinner every single day, and I have struggles, and I have trials, just like you do. But that doesn't make God any less every single day. You know, and by remembering our perfect Savior, sometimes it makes our sin seem worse. You know, it makes us feel foolish to realize how we've dishonored this God that loves us and put this plan of salvation in place. But you know, sometimes repentance hurts. And that's okay. That's the good kind of hurt. Because it's better to feel that hurt of repentance and kind of knowing that maybe we let our hearts go astray, go off track. Our walk is, we've stumbled from our walk. But that's better than realizing that we've let sin take root in us. Because when we look at verse 4, when we let sin take root in us, we become bad judges with evil thoughts. You know, and that's just an example off today's scripture. You know, there's other sins that we definitely have to worry about if we let take hold of our life. This is simply putting other people in a place where they don't deserve to be and putting God in a place where he doesn't deserve to be. We want to put God where he deserves to be and keep people where they deserve to be. You know, those that go through their life not knowing Christ are doing more than just living a sinful life. Now, in the NIV, if you look at verse 7, it says, "Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong?" You know, and I think we can kind of figure out who they're talking about. But the King James and the NAS, they say something a little different. If you're following along in those, it says that those who are doing this are blaspheming God. They're blaspheming God. That sounds so much worse than dishonoring or slandering something. To blaspheme, to take away who God is, to take away who God deserves to be. I guess if we were to let sin take root in our lives, we'd be in the same step. I mean, that's the danger of letting sin have a hold in our lives. Eventually, we go from honoring God and recognizing him for the salvation and the forgiveness of sins to turning our back on it and sinning despite that. If we look at James, in kind of a summary, I really think if you were to look at James, it's kind of a guideline for our daily walk. We wake up every morning. Who do we serve? Why do we get up every morning? Why do we go to bed every night? We have a God that loves us. We have a God to serve. We have a Jesus who forgives us for our sins. And looking through James reminds us, we will face trials, but through Christ we can persevere. We also know that God will help us overcome our sin. Or in James, he specifically talks about our anger. And then he also reminds us we need to do what God's word says, not just listen to it. And then today, sum it up, we need to give God the honor and glory and not man. I think keeping a few of those steps in mind is a pretty good reminder for our daily walk. You know, and it doesn't just stop there. This is not just, like I said before, a daily step to the footsteps that it takes, because we can't do this. This all relies on Christ. And when we rely on Christ, rely on his forgiveness, and look to him for strength alone, then we get to share in the promises that James talks about too. And James very, very clearly says, for those that love him, for those that love God, there's a crown of life that's promised to them for eternity, and there's also a kingdom that we stand to inherit for eternity.